The following program is transcribed. Time now for Western Michigan at Work, the program that brings you each week the story of one of the industries or professions in which the people of Western Michigan earn their living. Tonight we are to hear about the social worker and his job. Our guest will include four members of this profession. Now here is your guide to Western Michigan at Work, Dr. Willis Dunbar.
Good evening. There is probably no profession so poorly understood and so little appreciated as that of the social worker. All too often, it's the social worker who gets the blame for the adoption of some public policy which particular people don't like. It is necessary to remember that the social workers do not make the laws under which they work, nor do they originate the welfare agencies that employ them. In order that all of us may get a better idea of what the social worker does do, I have invited four representatives of the profession to meet with me in front of the microphone tonight. First, I'd like to introduce Mr. Ben Graham, who has charge of the Bureau of Social Aid here in Kalamazoo. Mr. Graham, will you please explain briefly what the purpose of the Bureau of Social Aid is?
Well, Dr. Dunbar, the Bureau of Social Aid is a state agency set up by the state of Michigan to take advantage of the assistance section of the Social Security Act. It gives financial assistance to three types of people: old age, aid to dependent children, and aid to the blind.
How many employees do you have in your office?
We have 23 employees in the Kalamazoo County Bureau.
Well, now, some people might ask this question, and I think it would be a good idea to clear it up at the beginning. What's the difference between your bureau and the county welfare agency?
Well, the bureau is a state agency, and we have funds from the state and federal government on a matching basis. And as I said before, we take care of just those three categories: old age assistance, aid to the dependent children, and aid to the blind. The county department is a local department which takes care of indigent people who do not fall in those three categories, and their funds are county and state funds.
All right, Mr. Graham. And now I'd like to introduce one of the caseworkers of the Bureau of Social Aid, Mrs. Jean Dixon. Mrs. Dixon, just what is it that you do?
Dr. Dunbar, the greater share of my work is done is in making calls on people who have applied to our office for help. Some of these people are new to us. Some of them we have seen over a period of years. We work under a law and must establish eligibility to receive help. However, we do this as unobtrusively as possible, as our greatest interest lies in the adjustment of the children in these families to the school, the neighborhood, and the family life itself.
Well, now you go to work just like anyone else, about 8 o'clock in the morning, and you work until about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I presume.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Is your work confined to the matter of seeing whether financial aid is needed?
No, sir, it is not. We are very much interested in what goes on in our families. We are most anxious to help them in solving the many problems that arise because there is need.
Well, now, does that mean that you specify how the money which they receive must be spent?
Not to too great an extent. Of course, we cannot overlook neglect of the needs of these children who are more or less a responsibility to us because of the needs of the parents.
What recourse do you have if people are getting assistance and yet seem to neglect their children?
We hesitate to do very much until we have exhausted every other possibility. However, we do have the help of the juvenile court as a last resort.
Well, does this work that you do day in and day out of talking with people sort of get you down ever?
Oh, it does sometimes. However, we must maintain an attitude of helpfulness, and we just can't get down.
I suppose that you have had professional training which prepares you for this work?
Yes, sir, I have.
Well, what sort of professional training is required of the social worker, Mrs. Dixon?
We expect that a person will have gone through college, majoring in sociology, having quite a bit of psychology and economics.
Isn't this profession of the social worker a rather new one?
I don't know that it is, Dr. Dunbar, at least possibly as a profession it is.
It's only recently become what you might call a profession, that's the difference.
I think that's probably true.
All right, well, thank you, Mrs. Dixon. Now let's turn to a somewhat different kind of social worker. Mrs. Collette Noble, our next guest, is director of the Third Street Community Center here in Kalamazoo. Now, that's an agency supported by the community chest, that is, by voluntary giving rather than by taxation. Mrs. Noble, what is the purpose of the center?
Well, the primary purpose is to provide group activity for the youngsters in our neighborhood and the surrounding areas.
Tell us how a typical day at the center goes.
Well, it's very interesting, Dr. Dunbar. We start out about 8:30 and have the nursery children come in. They are there until 11:30. The other workers on the staff come in at 1 o'clock, and from 1 until 3:15 they make home calls, contacting all the parents of the children who are members at the center. Then from 3:30 until 5, we have group activities for the various children who are arranged into age groups or skills. In the evening, we have the teenagers in.
Well, now, how many do you have on your staff?
We have 4. That's including myself, the nursery teacher, the girls' worker, and the boys' worker.
How are the children for the nursery school selected?
Well, for the parents who desire having their children attend.
What kind of problems do you run into when you call at homes?
Well, so many of our children have trouble getting along with each other. Many of them have fears. They're very timid. Then we have the child who is too aggressive. We take the attitude that we are as interested in the children as the parents, and that's why we make the home calls to work with the parents to make the child have a happier, healthy living.
Are you cordially received in most cases when you call at the homes?
Yes, sir, Dr. Dunbar, very much so.
You often hear it said that social workers are sometimes resented by people. You don't find that to be the case?
I do not, because they feel that we are as interested as they are, and we are trying to do a good deed for their children.
You help, in other words, when you call at the home, to solve emotional problems and social maladjustments, is that right?
That is right, yes, sir.
I suppose that takes quite a lot of diplomacy and tact, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
How much and what kind of training is required by the people who work at your center, Mrs. Smith?
Our nursery teacher is a trained nursery teacher. We are licensed under the state, which has special requirements. The girls worker is an occupational therapist and has some training in recreation. Our boys worker is a physical ed major, which is most important with our boys.
Getting back to the nursery school for a moment, do the mothers work in the cases of most of the children who are at the nursery school?
Not at the present time, none of them, Dr. Dunbar.
I see. Well, thank you very much, Mrs. Noble, for that information. And now our fourth guest, John Reed. His work is different from that of the others in that he's not concerned with the financial needs of people. But perhaps, Mr. Reed, it would be better for you to explain just what it is that you do.
Our agency is called the Family Service Center, where we offer service to families and individuals who are experiencing some emotional upset or some disagreeable experience, some unhappiness. Sometimes it's called family casework, sometimes family counseling, but at least the emphasis is upon helping the individual and his family reach a more happy, more satisfying existence.
Are most of these people in financial need?
No, Dr. Dunbar, many, and most of them are not. They are economically stable, able to take care of all their own financial needs. It's only in the area of experiencing some difficulty in an adjustment, either at work, home, school, neighborhood, where they seem to be out of sorts and to be experiencing some need to change that way.
How many do you have on your staff?
We have 5, Dr. Dunbar, Mrs. Nags, casework supervisor, 3 caseworkers, and myself.
How is your work supported?
We are supported mainly by the community chest.
Well, now, what is the value of this sort of thing that you do to the community as a whole, as over against the individuals who may get help?
Certainly, I think if we can help an individual family or an individual in any community live a little happier, then the whole group surrounding or coming in contact with him will be much happier over the thing. And I think, true, it's only out of as we study these individual situations, do we understand how some of the other factors within the community, within the neighborhood, affect all families and all individuals.
Now, just how do you go about it to help those who come to you?
Our job is to sit with them, listening to their story and helping them think through what the problem is and how best they and the caseworker and the other resources within the community can combat this problem that seems to be pressing them.
You sort of talk it out.
That's right.
Where are the interviews held?
They're all held in the caseworker's office and highly and strictly confidential.
Why not in the home?
In the home, there are many interruptions that seem to lead to not continuity of thinking through the problem. Certainly, we can expect with children in the home, there are going to be calls upon the mother. So that in the office, where there is strict confidentiality, much of the thinking and much of the intimate feelings about the problem can be expressed and worked through.
Suppose you run on to someone that comes in for an interview that you feel needs a psychiatrist.
We are able to help him since Dr. William A. Scott is a consultant for the agency, and we consult with him on those cases, the extent of which and the need for psychiatric consultation goes beyond what the individual worker or the agency can offer.
Is there a charge for the service which you give?
No, it is free at this time to anyone in the county of Kalamazoo.
What sort of preparation is required for the work that you do?
We are asking each of our workers to have a master's degree or at least make some preparation for securing the master's degree from a recognized school of social work.
Do you need work in psychology?
Yes, psychology. We should have a background and want a background in psychology, sociology, economics, psychiatric, and medical work.
Since you're working with individuals rather than social groups, how does it happen that the sociologist or the social worker is employed to interview these individuals?
There are many problems, I think, that can be helped with rather limited educational background that the social worker has that perhaps the psychiatrist doesn't need, and certainly there are many that can be helped before they need to get to the more skilled or specialized person such as a psychiatrist or a psychoanalyst.
I presume that their difficulties grow out of a social situation many times too.
Yes, that's true, Dr. Dunbar.
Do you feel that there's a growing demand for the sort of thing you're doing?
Yes, more and more, we in the social work field in all areas, whether it's public or private, see that folks are recognizing that it's no longer a weakness to seek help, but really a strength to recognize that this problem has gotten beyond the individual and must seek expert outside help.
I noticed that you didn't mention the divorce rate in anything that you said, but you mentioned keeping families happy that are still together.
That's right. If we could get into the situations before it got to the point where they were thinking of divorce, we could perhaps indirectly lower the divorce rate.
Mr. Graham, I'd like to come back to you for a final question. What are the rewards of social work as a profession, and what are some of its liabilities?
Well, Dr. Dunbar, I think the rewards are knowing that you have helped some person adjust so that they may become a better citizen, that they may be an asset to their community or to their neighborhood. Some of the liabilities are the realization that there are many gaps in our social structure, that we see many things that have to be done, and that we as social workers are not always the persons who are able to see that the thing is done. In other words, we don't have the push that puts it across. We're unable to get it over to the people who should do it. There are many of those gaps, such as more medical care for the indigent, better nursing homes, so forth.
Thank you, Mr. Graham. All of you have contributed to a better understanding by all of us on what the social worker does. Thank you. Next Tuesday evening, we have a special program that will take the place of Western Michigan at Work. We're going to present an outstanding musical organization, the Kalamazoo Male Chorus, in a quarter-hour concert at this same time, 7 p.m. next Tuesday night. You'll not want to miss hearing this fine musical group.
You have been listening to another transcribed broadcast in the series Western Michigan at Work, presented in the public interest by the Fetzer Broadcasting Company and this station.